Well, if you want to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, you can. And I think if our preschoolers are wanting to be dismissed right now, they can be as well. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. Just in our scripture reading, it's kind of a launching point for us this morning as we get into what God has for us today. And I think God's got a really good word for us today. Very excited about this. So Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 8. So look with me there. Let's read it along together here. Here's what God's Word says. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. You know, we never travel alone. We're always on our journey or a journey with someone else. Remember the movie Thelma and Louise? You got your Bonnie and Clyde. Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer had their partners. Goodness, Christopher Robin had Winnie the Pooh. The book of Proverbs opens up with a plea from a father to a son about the fear of the Lord and getting wisdom. And verses 8 through 9, however, the focus on the family gives way very quickly to a caution about companions. It seems that eventually, right, we have to set out on our own. And it's interesting to me, the fact that the first thing that the book of Proverbs tells you to do when you think about the fear of the Lord and trying to please God in every area of your life, the first area it addresses is who you choose as your companions. Isn't that interesting? Because the truth is, we can't escape our need for companions. I mean, this is the way God made us, right? God, we hold this truth to be a powerful, obvious foundation for us to build on. That God is triune. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, this Father, Son, and Spirit, all in a friendship with one another, in a family, in a brotherhood, always, for all of eternity, God has never existed alone. And here's the thing, we are made in His image. So God, who's never existed alone, looks at us and says, I'm going to make man in my image. And He says, it is not good for him to be alone. Even in a perfect world, we were made for one another. Even Tom Hanks' character in the movie Castaway had to have a soccer ball that he drew a face on as a friend. Wilson! One of my favorite movies. I love that movie. That's how hard it is for us to be alone. That's why we need companions. We're made for that. That's the way you're created. We can't escape the need for it. And the other thing we can't escape is that whoever those companions are will influence us for bad or for good. Like all of God's gift, this gift of friendship, this gift of companionship, it can be redeemed and used very well for His glory and His good, or it can be dangerous and destructive. It can be a blessing and building us up, or it can tear us down. And that's where the problem comes in, because we quite often do not choose our companions well. We either choose the wrong ones or we isolate ourselves. Proverbs 18:1 says this, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." Now just hold that verse in your mind, because we're going to get back to that idea. But right, you hear him say that? If you isolate yourself, you just want to live the only way you know how for yourself, or in the way that you know, and that's breaking out against wisdom, because you need companions. And the reason we do this is because we don't fear the Lord. Right? It's a fear of the Lord thing. And I know that because it's in the book of Proverbs. It's the first thing the book of Proverbs really seems to cover. And the wisdom of God is the fear of the Lord. It's skillfully living for Jesus. It's wanting to please Him in all that we do, centering our life upon Him, not trusting in ourselves. And the idea then is, if you want to grow in obedience and grow in a way that pleases God, right, then what you're going to do is surround yourself with people who will push you that way. If my ambition and my goal is to know God and know Jesus and walk with Him and live for Him, and then to help others do that, well, it just makes sense that I'm going to get other people to help me do that. And then if you don't do that, well, what you end up doing is surrounding yourself with fools, or you isolate yourselves. Right? The book of Proverbs says that a companion of fools is a fool. But he who walks with the wise is wise. So it's like this circle, right? I choose my friends based on where I want to go, right? My choices show what I want. The choices I make show what's in my heart. And I will choose my friends based on where I want to go in life. And then those friends will in turn influence me in the direction they want me to go, in the direction they're going. It's just a circle that keeps going round and round. So the old saying, you are who your friends are, is really true. There's a lot of truth to that, isn't it? So here is God's wisdom for us today. Yeah. It rules not just your money or your bed or your emotions, but your choice of friends as well. And it makes it very, very easy for us, or simple. Choose your friends wisely. Bad or good, choose them wisely. That's the first point I want you to see this morning. Choose your friends wisely. Right? There are those who are good friends, there are those who are bad friends. How do you know what the difference between those two things? Well, you read your Bible, that's how. It might help also to listen to your mom and dad. You read your Bible. What does it say? Well, let me give you a few things that the book of Proverbs tells us about a good friend. A good friend, for example, will be with you through thick and thin. He's a foul weather friend. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. As opposed to the fair weather friend, right? The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Or again, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. Like the prodigal son, right, whose friends, he had a lot of them while he had a lot of money. And when he had his father's inheritance, and he was out in a far country living in riotous living, he had a lot of friends with him. And when the money ran out, what happened to all of his friends? They were gone. Right? Because bad friends are there just to use you. See, adversity in your life will cost you. When you enter into trials and adversity, it's hard, and here's the reality. It will cost other people to help you through it. It may be money, it may be sleepless nights, it may be a lot of emotional investment and pain. It may just be time with them. It may be a lot of prayer with them. It may be just in their presence quite a bit. But because they are your friend, you will pay the price to do it. But a bad friend was never in it for that reason anyway, right? He's only with you because of how you can benefit him or her ultimately. And when they cost more than you pay up, they will not be friend. They will not be found. They will be gone. So a bad friend is just using you to indulge his desires. And see, that's the issue. See, the good friend has you at his best interest. He wants to help you grow. Not merely to make you laugh, or rather to make himself laugh, not just for the good time. The good friend in the Bible wants you to grow. That's why a good friend will be honest with you and speak truth to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:7-6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Like, how many here would rather have a wound or a kiss? You may be thinking, well, it depends on who's kissing me. But pretty much, by and large, we would rather have a kiss than a wound. I'd rather my wife kiss me than wound me. But sometimes she needs to wound me. At least according to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 28:23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Here's another. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. A net, right? To trap. See, someone who flatters, let me go back to this, is someone who is using you. He does not want to make you feel bad or mad because they need you to make them feel good about themselves. Do you understand? That's how it works. And so the reason they never correct you or say anything to you or upset you is because they want you to do the same thing to them. They want you to flatter them. They want, remember, a zero-cost relationship. They just want smiles and sunrises, but don't change them. That's the real motivation. They are enablers. They are using you. I wonder if you've thought of friendship like that. On the other hand, you got to be careful with this, because when we correct one another, because that's what the Bible says, right? The Bible is teaching that a faithful friend will correct you, will tell you about your weaknesses, will tell you when you're wrong, will tell you that this is dangerous, this is sinful that you're doing, this attitude, this way of life, this path you're going down, this is wrong. You handled that wrong. You said that wrong to this person. This was wrong. This was sin. But you got to be careful about it, because when we correct one another, our object is not to be self-expressive, like, I just need to get this off my chest. Nor should you ever belittle them, right? Proverbs says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Please remember that when you use social media, by the way. Rather, the goal is the friend's growth. Before saying what you want to say, ask this question. Is what I'm about to say going to serve them and build them up? Is the reason I'm saying this in order to build them up, or is it to just get a piece of my mind off my chest, right? Just to say something and unload here. Is it to hurt them? And how can I say it with love and gentleness? And when they say it to you, on the other side of it, don't get offended. See, because you know this, you have a relationship built like this. A good friend will overlook it when you offend them. We covered this a bit last week, but remember this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And that phrase about overlooking offenses occurs 3 times in the book of Proverbs. So if you're a good friend with someone, right, and you spend time with them, what's going to happen? You're going to get on each other's nerves. You're going to disappoint one another. You're going to upset one another. You're going to be selfish. You may say things that hurt them. You may do things that hurt them. That's a fact of life. You're a sinner. They're a sinner. You get together. That's what happens. But rather than unwittingly taking part in our cancel culture of today, what God calls us to do is to forgive and love After all, the things that they do to hurt you may often be coming from them because they are dealing with something in an unhealthy way. And then when you begin to hold it against them, you're just adding to their burden, even though they've wronged you. And so friendship is about overlooking offenses. See, what the good friend does is he tries to protect the relationships. That's why he not only forgives quickly, but he also doesn't gossip. A whisperer, the Bible says, separates close friends. When you repeat something a close friend has told you in confidence, well, you've basically destroyed that friendship, right? And gossip takes it to a whole new level as well. With gossip, the intention is to use the other person to make yourself feel good. Someone who gossips about you is not your friend. Or at least in that moment, they're not being. Quite often, they are using your misfortune in order to promote themselves. Again, they're using you. And think about this. The flatterer is not your friend. Put it together. Listen, flattery is when someone says something to you they would never say to other people behind your back. Gossip is when someone says something to others behind your back that they would never say to you. Let me repeat that. Flattery is when someone says something to you that they would never say to others behind your back. Gossip is when someone says something to others behind your back that they would never say to you. Do you see the difference? Because in neither case is the person really after your best interest. And so if I flatter you, then I might think Dusty's a loser. But when I see him face to face, I'm like, all right, you're awesome, Dusty. You're the greatest thing. And then I go over here to Laser and I talk about how awful Dusty is. Right, that's flattery. And then that's gossip. Right? It's not honesty. It doesn't build friendship. And the Bible has examples of all of this, of the good and the bad friend. Think about Rehoboam's companions, who after King Solomon didn't listen to his father's friends, something the book of Proverbs tells you to do. Instead, what he wanted to do was listen to the young guns. He becomes the king, right? And so his father's friends come alongside and says, listen, this is how you need to do this and how you need to treat the people. You need to be gentle with them and kind. And then the young guy listens to his young friends and says, no, you need to crush the people with more taxes and a heavier burden. And that's who he listens to, and he splits the kingdom. Why did he do that? Because that's what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear what the young guy said. That's what his heart wants. So that's who he surrounds himself with. On the other hand, think about Jonathan and King David. Jonathan may be my top 10 favorite characters of the Bible. The Bible says that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Do you see what it cost Jonathan to be the friend of David? Removed from his own father's house. Friendship cost you. And then the Bible says in verse 3 that Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And here's even more incredible here. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. Right? Because Jonathan was supposed to be the next king, but David had been anointed king by God. And Jonathan is like, hey, I'm not getting in the way of that. Not to mention, I just love this man. So no ego, no selfishness. I'm going to die and I'm going to give life to David. That's Jonathan. That's friendship. And perhaps my favorite verse of all regarding Jonathan and David is this one. When David was so discouraged, the Bible said, Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. That's friendship. Friendship is one person strengthening another person's hand in God. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have people in your life who strengthen your hand in God? I'm not talking about just people you hang out with, tell you jokes, have a laugh, watch the game with, chit-chat. I'm not talking about that. That's wonderful. I'm glad you have that. I want you to have that. I have that too. But do you have people in your life who will strengthen your hand in the Lord? This is what God wants us. In fact, He did so much to make this happen for us that He gave us a different friend. So what I want to do is turn you from thinking about friends to thinking about Jesus as our friend. The second thing I would say, what the Bible exhorts us to do is to choose Jesus as your friend. I don't know how you hear that. You might hear that and think, well, isn't Jesus everybody's friend automatically? I just kind of thought that's the way that worked. Or you may think, well, that's just weird. That sounds a little odd. Or maybe you're thinking this morning, you're telling me that Jesus could be my friend, my personal friend? Well, just think about the story of the Bible. It begins with Adam and Eve in a garden where God walked with them and befriended them in a sinless relationship. But when they disobeyed God, that relationship was filled with shame and distrust and selfishness, all on mankind's part, you see. And Adam and Eve hid from God rather than walking with Him. And the Bible shows that this plays itself out in a very, very ugly history. God seeking to befriend others, but man always opposing Him and pushing back away. Of course, there's all through the Bible some glimpses of what it could be. There were people like Abraham, whom the Bible calls three times the friend of God. There's a man named Enoch who walked with God. There's a prophet called Moses. The Bible says that God spoke to him as a friend, face to face. There's a songwriter, Shepherd King, who chased after the heart of God. And when you read his songs in the book of Psalms, you read it and you think, this was the friend of God. But by and large, this God was a stranger to so many. But then God did something that no one saw coming. He sent His only Son into this world with a body like ours, that among other things, He might walk with us and truly befriend us. He walked among us. He talked to us. He drew near to us, so much so that the Bible says He was the friend of sinners. He had a band of brothers He called close to Him. They're called disciples. But He said these words to him, to them, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Like, I'm letting you in to the inner circle here. I'm opening it up here, and I want you to come in. That's what friends do. What a privilege it was to be called the servant of God in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And we open the pages of the Gospel, and we have Jesus Himself, the God-man, saying, "I am befriending you." There's a whole lot of ground to cover when you just read those verses from John's Gospel, but one thing you understand is that what it means to be a true friend is to lay down your life for other people. Friendship is based on love. Love looks like sacrificing yourself for the good of others. And of course, that's what He did. But let's say this, He takes it a step further. He will do for anyone what He did for those disciples. What the Bible says is the good news that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. But to say we're sinners doesn't really even capture it. Romans 5:10 says this, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." Our sin made us enemies with God. But you see, God reconciles lost sinners, putting an end to that kind of opposition and hostility on our part, taking our bad relationship and making it good, taking our bad standing and making it good, all through the bloody cross of Jesus Christ. But those in Christ, no longer are they His enemy. They've been brought near to be His friend, having wiped away all of their sins. As Gregory the Great said 1,500 years ago, it's a virtue before men to endure enemies. It is a virtue of God to love them. And that's what God has done for us. And this friend, Jesus, is a brother born for our adversity. He is a foul-weather friend who will never leave us. It is His glory to forgive us. He always speaks the truth in love to us, never flattering us. He will never tell your secrets to another. He will never betray you. He will not take offense when you let Him down, because it is His glory to bear your offense. Not overlook it, but bear it. He always leads you to life, not death. He's the friend who knows who you really are, and He will never walk away from you. That's a friend. Why? Because His friendship with you is not based on your life, but on His life. It's not based on how you can make His life better, but how He can make you better. And when your weakness comes out in this friendship and you become difficult to deal with, He doesn't despise you. He draws near to you. That's when He really shows who He is. Do you know this friend? Do you know this friend of sinners? Do you know this one whom you can pour your whole heart out to and knows you but loves you? Brothers and sisters, quite often the reason we fail to trust the Lord and do what He calls us to do, especially when it's difficult, especially when there's a cross to bear, is because we don't know Him as our friend. When Abraham was called to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, to kill him, you imagine? You ever read that story and you're amazed by that? And Abraham doesn't hesitate. It's like, okay, let's go up the mountain and we'll do this. You ever wondered why? Maybe it's because when a friend makes a request, trusting them is not so hard, is it? Had a stranger asked Abraham to do that, Abraham would have looked at him and said, "Forget it." But he knew his friend. And for friends, faith comes naturally. That's why Jesus, I think, told them in John 15, did you notice it? "You are my friends if you do what I command." Right? So we show that we get it. We know this Jesus would never ask of me things that are going to hurt me ultimately. They may be difficult, but I can trust Him. And because I trust Him and I know Him, He's not a stranger asking me to give up my life. He has my best interest at heart. So what you understand is that, quote, "the highest rung on the ladder of His Lordship is friendship." Jesus conquered your sin and death and hell and God's wrath, not to stomp on you with His feet, but to befriend you in fellowship with you. And do you see that when you hold back from Him, the reason you do is because you don't know Him, not like you should. That's the only reason we would. Gosh, if we really knew who He was, no matter what He would ask of us, no matter how hard it would be, right? We just know my friend would never ask of anything of me that would really ultimately hurt me. You see then what holds you back from Him is not knowing Him. The stranger He is to you, the more you will hold back. So why not let today be a new day? A day you can commit to knowing Him better like you never have. Why not become His friend today, or a better friend? I love one thing C.S. Lewis once said. He said, a new friendship starts out like this. What? You too? I thought I was the only one. Right? But friendship begins when you have something in common with someone. And you may not be like them. You just have to love the thing each other loves. You just discover that all along you had something in common. And guess what you have in common with Jesus? I love the way Ray Ortland put this. Everything you care about the most. He cares about you. He cares about your sin. He cares about your future. He cares about your joy. He loves you. He understands you. He's here. And you can receive Him today. Why not? That's how friendship with Christ starts. And when you do that, what actually begins to happen is that you can now become a true friend to other people, right? Beloved, if Jesus is your friend, your close friend, if you have a friend that is born for adversity, if you know He's got your back, then you can have others' back, right? Because, right, you've got a friendship to draw from. Like, I know no matter what I do, I've got Him and all the emotional capital that I need to invest in other people comes because I've got that invested in Him and He and I. I can spend because I've got so much. Having His love, I can risk by giving it away, because the best friend in the world is the one who will empty Himself for you like Jesus did. Once again, humility shows us the way, right? Self-important people never have good friends. How could they? It's always about them. But Jesus had so many. Why? Because He was gentle and approachable and humble and fiercely loyal. That could be you too with Jesus in your life. And that could be our church. Bethel, I think there are people in the world of Facebook friends that are starving for true friendship. For friends of sinners. For group of people who will hear their pain, see their brokenness, smell their garbage, and not walk away from them, but instead will carry them, correct them, and comfort them. Do you want that? Well, if you do, just very quickly, I'm going to close with this last thought. Choose the church as your friend, right? Choose good friends. Choose Jesus as your friend. Choose the church as your friend. I wish I didn't have to say this, but I do. Because if you have Jesus as your friend and not His people as your friend, you're just not thinking rightly. So Tracy is my best friend. And I trust her like no other. I can tell her secrets. I can't tell anyone else. She knows more about me than anyone, and she hasn't walked away yet. That's a good thing. She and I will be there for each other through every trial. She's my best friend. What that means is that if you can't stand her, and if you would belittle her, and if you're going to always stay away from her, and if you would look at me and say, Brandon, I'd like to be your friend, but I don't want anything to do with your wife, then I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, you're not going to get very close to me. Right? She don't have to be your best friend, but she needs to be your friend if you really want to get close to me. Remember earlier, we noted that the book of Proverbs says that he who isolates himself breaks out against all wisdom. So if you isolate yourself from a local church, that is a foolish thing. And you're saying you love the head of the church and not the people of it. And it just doesn't work that way. So I would just encourage you, let's quit trying to be more spiritual than Jesus. You need people, flesh and blood, in your life to help you. Right? You need to understand that Jesus, the way He helps you in adversity is through His people. Yes, He can make your heart grow warm. Yes, He can encourage you, but He does that through friends. Right? Jesus acts it out through His people. It's His hands and His feet that carry you in the day of diversity. It's His words spoken through His people that correct you or comfort you. But if you say, well, my problem is that church is just hard. Well, you're right. No, the wisdom of God is right there for us. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Right? Left to ourselves, our swords become blunted and dull, but the Lord won't let that be. He puts us to the wheel and rock. So people rub against one another and friction occurs. And it's that way by design. Quite honestly, there are too many people in church who are playing. They don't want to get real serious about Jesus and about following Him, and so they will not pursue Him in any costly way, and that means they will not pursue others in any costly way. And it's simply not the way of God. So if you haven't, why not befriend your church? Maybe this church. Why not join? Why not get involved? Why not get in a small group of some sort, especially as more of those become available here as we're coming back from COVID-19? You can start with Sunday school. Build relationships. Don't come here to consume and just use others, but to be used. Don't seek flattery when you come. Seek the truth. Speak the truth in love to others. Try to strengthen one another's hand in the Lord, and let's see what God can do. As Sam Alberry put it this way, I'll close with this quote, because I love it. It's almost impossible to overstate the positive impact we can have if we come to church looking to be an encouragement. I just don't know if everybody comes with that mindset. But come. Looking to be an encouragement every time you walk in the door. Not like, who's going to encourage me today? Like, who's going to? I understand we all need to be picked up, and that can be where you are right now. But if you could walk in the doors every time and say, how can I encourage or strengthen someone's hand in the Lord today? What could that do? I think it could change the world. Let's pray and ask God to do that with us. God, I thank You. I thank You that Jesus is the friend of sinners. I thank You, Lord, that You do not throw away Your people when they disappoint You, and when they get hard and difficult. But You pursue, and You love us. And You've showed us friendship. Your cross showed us friendship. And I pray that we would take what Jesus has done and put it into practice. Lord, Your Holy Spirit, Jesus said, takes what is Christ's and declares it to us. And so if He, this friend of sinners, could be such a friend, Lord, would You declare that to us? Let us own it, let us believe it, and then let us live it out. And I pray for whoever is here, God, that needs to grow as a friend to others, who needs to grow in their friendship with You, whatever is holding them back, Lord, God, would you just take that away from them and show them Christ? We have no stranger here asking this of us. We have Jesus. Would you please help us to know you as our friend and to know others? Give us deep friends here. Help us dig in and not settle for anything superficial in our church. Help us not isolate ourselves. Anybody doing that, anybody watching on Facebook today who is doing that unnecessarily, God, would you speak to them about that? Help us to enter in into the life of your people and love one another. Grant companions. There are probably people here, Lord, or people we know who need a friend. Would you bring them up in our hearts and help us to go and minister to them? Help us to look and open our eyes and use us to change the world. I pray for any here who doesn't know Christ. Lord, would you speak to them about knowing Jesus even today and finding in him the friend they've always wanted. We thank you for your mercy and kindness today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.